person, and by that we mean that it can sue and be sued, can buy properties and carry out activities just like a normal human being would, and that allows it to carry out the functions that it is designed for. Yes, exactly. Separate legal personality. Yes, that is one of the features of this body. Excellent. So, subsection 2 of section 4, the provisions of the schedule shall have effect as to the constitution of the commission and otherwise in relation thereto. So, not only is it a separate legal entity, separate legal personality, but it also has a constitution that says how it ought to operate, and that is found in the first schedule of the Fair Competition Act. So it has a constitution, and that constitution governs its internal operation. So what are the functions of the commission? And section 5 of the Fair Competition Act tells us, beg your pardon, what are the functions of the commission. Again, not to be confused with the Consumer Affairs Commission. And here's the danger. If you go into an exam and the question asks you about the Fair Trading Commission and you write about the Consumer Affairs Commission, you are not answering the question. And therefore, you cannot get maximum points, let alone a passing grade for that question. So again, I'm saying, make sure you know which of them you are speaking about. So section 5 of the, and truth be told, is that the provisions are very close. So if section 5 of the Fair Competition Act give rise to the commission, then section 6 of the Consumer Affairs Commission give rise to the Consumer Affairs Commission, Consumer Protection Act. So it is very easy for people to be confused or to mix up the provisions. But again, I'm asking you to pay careful attention. So section 5 speaks about the functions of the commission, and the first function is to carry out on its own or at the request of any person investigations and inquiries in relation to the conduct of business in order to determine if any enterprise is engaging in business practices in contravention of the Act. So the first function is investigatory. The second function is also investigatory. And section 5 tells us that to carry out other investigations and inquiries requested by the minister or as the commission considers necessary or desirable in connection with matters falling within the Act. So in the first instance, the commission on its own volition or any person, whether that is a corporate person or it is a individual, can trigger an investigation, or as we can see here, the minister who is responsible for commerce and industry can ask the commission or the commission itself if it recognizes that something is not right with the market, it can intervene. The third role or function of the commission is to advise the minister on matters relating to the operations of the Act. And here again, when we're speaking about the minister, we're speaking about the minister with responsibility for industry and commerce. The fourth function of the commission, according to section 5 of the Act, is to investigate. So here again, it's investigative. Whether on its own initiative or at the request of any person adversely affected by any abuse of a dominant position by any enterprise and take such action as is considered necessary. And in this regard, there is the Cable and Wireless Jamaica Limited, trading as Lime, and the Honorable Prime Minister at the time, Bruce Golding, with responsibility for information and telecommunication and special projects, was named as the first respondent, and the Fair Trading Commission. So this case is a 2011 case, and Cable and Wireless trading as Lime took the Prime Minister and the Fair Trade Commission to court, and this was actually a judicial review application because Cable and Wireless was making the case that Digicel was abusing dominant position and that the Fair Trade Commission was not doing its job in terms of policing the market, and particularly in relation to item 4 here, or subsection 4 here of the Act. And I want to share a little bit of this case with you that was heard September 19, 20, 26, 27, and the 7th of October in 2011. And it is important because, you know, again, it sort of brings together the different strands of the course that we have been speaking about, because you remember when we spoke about the sources of law, we spoke about the Constitution, and we spoke about the role of the judiciary, and we spoke about the power of the judiciary to what you call review the decisions and the actions of ministers of government, the executive branch, to see whether it is in keeping with the powers of primary legislation or even the Constitution itself. So this was a judicial review application by Cable and Wireless Trading as Lime, and essentially what they were saying is that there was a breach of the Telecommunication Act, Section 11, Subsection 1, Paragraph A and B, Section 17, Subsection 2 and 3, and then Section 17, 19, 20, 21, 35, 46, and 47 of the Fair Competition Act. And just to give you a little bit of the background, so in March 2011, Oceanic Digital Jamaica Limited, trading as Claro, and Digicel Jamaica Limited, trading as Digicel, announced that Claro would be transferring all its assets in Jamaica to Digicel, and Digicel would be transferring all its assets in El Salvador and Honduras to Claro. This transaction would mean that Claro's license to provide mobile communication services in Jamaica would be transferred to Digicel. Section 17 of the Telecommunications Act authorizes the minister to give approval to this transfer of license. The minister with responsibility for information, telecommunication, and special projects has approved the transfer. So that's the background. And we are not concerned with the Telecommunication Act at all. What we are concerned with is the Fair Competition Act, and we'll come to that. So Cable and Wireless Jamaica Limited, which trades under the name Lime, wants to apply for judicial review for the following remedies. So these are what Lime is now seeking to do. So to break it down for you, is that Lime essentially is seeking to block Claro from selling Digicel the license that it had here operating in Jamaica. So Lime wanted an order of certiorari against the first respondent, and the first respondent is the Prime Minister, was the Minister of telecommunications and special projects. And certiorari is a remedy to essentially quash the decision of the minister. So bear in mind that the minister had approved this transfer. So Lime went to court to basically say to the court, reverse this decision, quash this decision. So an order of certiorari against first respondent quashing approval given by the first respondent in August 2011 to the merger entered into between Oceanic Digital Jamaica Limited, trading as Claro, and Digicel Jamaica Limited, trading as Digicel, whereby it is inter alia agreed that there would be an assignment of the license and or rights thereunder and or control of the operations of Claro to Digicel. So for those of you, I'm sure most of you, or all of you, should have been aware that we had Claro operating in Jamaica and that Digicel acquired the license and the operations of Claro. Now, B, a declaration that the first respondent's decision to approve the transaction is unlawful and or was effected by an improper exercise of his power. So they were challenging the power of the minister to approve this transfer. Lime is also disgruntled with the Fair Trade Commission, and this is the crux of the matter now, as a statutory body established under the Fair Competition Act to regulate competition in the marketplace in Jamaica. Lime says that the FTC is not utilizing its powers under the Fair Competition Act to scrutinize this transaction between Claro and Digicel. This prompted Lime to seek leave to get an order of mandamus. And now mandamus is another remedy. So we have they're seeking an order of certiorari, which is to quash the decision of the minister. And here now they're seeking an order of mandamus, which is really to get the Fair Trade Commission to act. So they wanted the Fair Trade Commission to go and investigate this transfer of license to Digicel by Claro to determine whether it was in breach of the Fair Competition Act. So Lime wants to ask the Judicial Review Court to grant an order of mandamus against the second respondent, compelling it to complete its investigation into the likely effects on competition in the telecommunication sector of the agreement for the assignment of the license and transfer of the business operations of Claro to Digicel against the criteria set out in Section 17, Section 19, Section 21, and Section 35 of the Fair Competition Act, and to take such action in relation thereto as may be deemed appropriate, including but not limited to 1. Seeking an injunction against Digicel and Claro under Section 47 of the Fair Competition Act of 1993 on the basis that of breaches of Section 17 and 35 of the Fair Competition Act, such injunction to last until such time as the transaction can be lawfully approved. 2. Issue directions under Section 21 of the Fair Competition Act to prevent the abuse of dominance given effect to by the transaction itself. And 3. Issuing directions under Section 21 of the Fair Competition Act to halt the steps already being taken by Digicel and Claro to combine their operations pending final judgment in this action should leave be granted. So again, to break it down, it's very simple. Lime essentially was trying to block the takeover of Claro by Digicel and was citing the provisions of the Fair Competition Act as the basis on which the court should block this from happening, and certainly should block it from happening until the substantive matter was heard. And you remember when we were looking at contract, we were looking at remedies, equitable remedies of injunction. So what they were seeking was the court to put in a stop order, as it were, and I'm using the word stop order, to prevent these transactions from happening until this matter was resolved by the court. So, again, to put it into the context of where we are on these slides, we're looking at the role of the FTC, which is a Fair Trading Commission, to investigate whether on its own initiative or at the request of any person adversely affected based on abuse of dominant position. And person here could be a natural person as well as a company. And in this case, it was Lion that was making this application that the Fair Trading Commission should step in and intervene and investigate this deal between Claro and Lion. So I'll share some more of this case with you. What has been set out above in respect of the Fair Trading Commission is the amended application for leave, and both the Prime Minister at the time and the Fair Trade Commission resisted the application of Cable and Wireless Line. Now let's give you a little background, even though we have given it already, but let's give you a little bit more context. So, in terms of background, all legal disputes have a factual and social context. Lime, a Jamaican company for many years, was the incumbent and sole provider of telephonic services within Jamaica. And remember I told you at the start that prior to the 80s, certainly in the 70s and the 60s, you know, Jamaica operated a mixed economy where the government owned several key assets. So like telecoms was owned by the government, and they had entered into a contract with Cable and Wireless, which then became Lime, and Lime essentially was a monopoly. And at the time, only 300,000 persons had landlines in Jamaica. Now, it pioneered the introduction of mobile telecommunication services in Jamaica. This is Lime they're talking about now. Indeed, it enjoyed a monopoly in many Caribbean countries, including Jamaica. In the early 2000s, the government of Jamaica decided that the monopoly should be broken. In response to this development, an Irish-based company alighted on the shores of Jamaica. Since its arrival, the provision of mobile services underwent a virtual revolution. The company, Digicel, has been locked in fierce combat with Lime for market share. Claro, a third provider of telecommunication services, also took advantage of the liberalized market in Jamaica. Since liberalization, Digicel and Lime have had innumerable disputes. They have been litigated both here in Jamaica and in the United Kingdom. This is the latest skirmish in this long-running war, in quotes. In the eyes of Lime, this transaction between Claro and Digicel will lead to a reduction of competition because the number of mobile service providers will be reduced from 3 to 2. This, according to Lime, is reason enough for the minister not to grant permission for the assignment of the license to Digicel by Claro. Lime also takes the view that the Fair Trading Commission has not exercised its power to prevent the merger or to take such other steps as may be necessary to preserve and enhance the competitive environment. Lime claims no prevails. Lime is also saying that Digicel is not constrained by competitive forces even at the present moment, and this transaction will only serve to strengthen Digicel's hand in the mobile service market. Lime goes further to say that failure to act on the part of the FTC, which is a Fair Trading Commission, and the decision of the minister mean that the consumer will be worse off. So, you know, I chuckle because here is Lime, who was once a monopoly in Jamaica that could hardly supply the market, is now hanging on for dear life and trying to prevent the merger between Claro and Digicel, because obviously they are of the view that their position in terms of market dominance would even be greater eroded. So this is the context, and we will be coming back to this case because it is very illuminating in terms of the Fair Trade, the Fair Competition Act, and the provisions of the Fair Competition Act. And as I've said further, the telecommunication sector is really a metaphor of the type of transformation that has taken place in the Jamaican economy since its liberalization, warts and all. So we continue to look at the functions of the commission, and when we talk the commission that we're talking about here is the Fair Trading Commission. So the fifth function is to carry out any other duties prescribed or pursuant to the act. And as you can see, investigation is one of them. So then now we look at the function of the commissioner. So we look at the function of the commission, which is the collective, the body, the institution, this separate legal personality, this statutory body that is charged with ensuring that there's a level playing field. The commissioner must make available to persons engaged in business general information with respect to other rights and obligations under the act. And this is one of the things that Lime was accusing the FTC to be doing, that they were sleeping at the wheels. How can you allow Digicel to acquire Claro? You're not doing your job. For the guidance of consumers, general information with respect to the rights and obligations of persons under the act affecting the interests of consumers. Of course, you know, it's not, well, I was going to say it's surprising, but it really isn't. So Lime now in advance in this case is saying that they are now the defenders of the consumers. How can you allow Digicel to be acquiring Claro? Because the consumers are going to be worse off, but they are not going to say, let us drop our rates. They're not going to say that. Undertake studies and publish reports and information regarding matters affecting the interests of consumers. And again, this is the role of the commissioners of the Fair Trading Commission. The commissioner must cooperate and assist any association or body of persons in developing and promoting the observance of standards of conduct for the purpose of ensuring compliance with the Act, the provisions of the Act. And again, Lime was basically saying, look, you're not doing your job, you need to block this are investigate at a minimum the merger between Digicel and Claro. So we continue to look at the powers of the commission, and again this is section 7, and remember what we're speaking about here is the Fair Trading Commission. So what are the powers of the Fair Trading Commission? 1, summon and examine witnesses. 2, call for and examine documents, and this is pursuant to investigations. Administer oaths. Require that any document submitted to the commission be verified by affidavit, and an affidavit is a sworn statement. Adjourn any investigation from time to time. Hear orally any person who, in its opinion, will be affected by an investigation. Hear any person at the person's written request who is an interested party likely to be affected by the results of an investigation. And of course, Lime is positioning itself as such a person because they obviously would have been affected by the merger between Digicel and Claro, and they wanted to prevent it as best as they could, and therefore they went to court and asked the court to look at the decision of the minister and the role of the Fair Trade Commission in this matter. 8, require a person engaged in business or a trade or any other person that the commission deems appropriate to state facts concerning the manufacture, production, or supply of goods or services by the person in order to determine whether the conduct of the business in relation to the goods and services constitute an uncompetitive practice. And this is very broad, doesn't only apply to telecoms, but also you know, supermarkets, manufacturers of certain products, and this is informed by a context where artificially the suppliers of goods and services had prevented the availability of these products to consumers, thereby driving up the price and creating havoc on the pockets of consumers. So, you know, those are the functions of the commission and the commissioners, and as I've said, don't mistake them with the Consumer Affairs Commission. Section 8 and 10 continue to look at the powers of the commission, and one of the powers of the commission is to hold public hearings, but may, whenever the circumstances warrant it, conduct private hearings. So if the information that is going to come out is very sensitive, if it deals with the trade secret of the entity, then they can have in-camera hearing as opposed to public hearings. 10, require an authorized officer to enter and search premises and inspect and copy and seize documents in order to ascertain if a person is engaged in conduct in contravention of the act. And this mirrors what we call an Anton Pillar injunction. Usually a court order will be necessary, but the act empowers the authorized officer so to do, and I would say pending the respective order being granted by the court. The minister may give directions, and as you would have seen here in this case between Cable and Wireless Jamaica Limited, trading as Lime, and the Honourable Prime Minister Bruce Golding, at the time he was Minister with responsibility for information, telecommunications and special projects. The minister from time to time may change, but in terms of fair competition, the minister responsible for industry and commerce is likely to be the minister that would be ultimately responsible. Now, Section 9, the Act empowers the minister to give the commission directions as to a general of a general nature as to the minister's considered as the minister considers necessary in the public interest as to the policy to be followed by the commission, and the commission must give effect to such directions. And this is not saying that the minister must interfere with the day-to-day operations of the Fair Trading Commission, but the minister who is responsible for policy directions. And if the minister give certain policy directions, then the Fair Trading Commission is duty-bound by statute to carry out the directions that it has been given. Application of the Act, Section 3. So, the following are excluded from the provisions of the Act. So, trade unions are not regulated by the Fair Competition Act, nor collective bargaining agreements. So, here in Jamaica, we have a strong trade union culture. And part of that trade union culture is that people come together, our workers come together in order to get the best pay package and emoluments from employers. And in a sense, that coming together would not reflect how the market operates, where it's individualistic and is every man for himself, but it is collective. And some could argue that there's some element of collusion in this collective bargaining arrangement that would run counter to competition. And in fact, in more industrialized countries, there is a resistance to trade unions, and you know, in order to circumvent them, what they have developed is what they call temp agencies. So these agencies, rather than the company, hire the people, and as soon as they want to get rid of them, they can fire them at will. Now, agreements containing provisions relating to the use, license, or assignment of rights under any copyright, patent, or trademark. So again, intellectual property doesn't fall under the rubric of the Fair Competition Act, and that is understandable because You can't ask somebody to share their intellectual property with you, or to give up their patent, or to give up their trademark. So you couldn't tell KFC that they must give Popeyes their recipe. And why Jamaicans like to join very long lines to get KFC, only the Lord in heaven knows. But be that as it may. Now, similarly, activities of professional associations designed to develop or enforce professional standards of competence reasonably necessary for protecting the public, so like the General Legal Counsel, the Medical Association of Jamaica, the Medical Council of Jamaica, the Institute of Chartered Accountants, Institute of Architects, all of these professional bodies that you can think about that have their organizations, those organizations are not regulated by the Fair Trade Commission. And in fact, as you can see, the Act makes it very clear that they are exempted from them. So that brings us now to Section 17, which we actually touched on in the case that I introduced to you just now of Cable and Wireless trading as Lime and the Honorable Prime Minister, Bruce Golding, Minister with responsibility for information, telecommunication and special projects, was the first respondent, and the Fair Trade Commission that was the second respondent. So what does Section 17 say? Section 17 of the Fair Competition Act prohibits agreements lessening competition. And this is really what Lime was saying. Lime was saying that, look, this agreement between Digicel and Claro is lessening competition. And I'm going to pick up from paragraph 15 of the case to give you context again. Lime has attached great importance to the word legal impediment in Section 111B, and that is Section 111B of the Telecommunications Act. So essentially what Lime was arguing is that Section 111B of the Telecommunications Act prevents the transfer of a license from one provider to the next if there's a legal impediment. And they were making the argument that the legal impediment was Section 17 of the Fair Competition Act. So the legal impediment is this. According to Lime, any agreement which has or might have the effect of lessening competition is a breach of Section 17 of the Fair Trade or the Fair Competition Act, and that breach amounts to a legal impediment because the exception provided by the Fair Competition Act does not apply. The exception only applies if the Fair Trade Commission approves the transaction before the minister makes approval of the assignment, and there is no evidence that the Fair Trade Commission has given its approval. Therefore, the impediment remains. In other words, the Fair Trading Act or the Fair Competition Act creates a hurdle to the minister's approval under the Telecommunications Act, and that hurdle has not been cleared. Consequently, the minister's decision is unlawful because he failed to consider the implication of the Fair Competition Act. This submission requires consideration of the provisions of the Fair Competition Act. So what this case actually does now is that it examines the provisions of the Fair Competition Act. That is why this is an important case to help us to understand how the Fair Competition Act works. So I'm going to continue to share it with you. So on your screen is what constitutes breach of Section 17. So Section 17 of the Act would be breached if directly or indirectly fixed purchase or selling prices of any other trade or any other trading condition. So these are agreements which include provisions that directly or indirectly fix purchase or selling prices or any other trading condition Two, limit or control production, markets, technical development, or investment. Three, share markets or source of supply. Four, affect tenders to be submitted in response to a request for bid, so bid rigging. Five, apply dissimilar conditions to equivalent transactions with other trading parties, thereby placing them at a competitive disadvantage. And this would be important for Lime, because essentially what Lime was arguing is that by Digicel acquiring Claro, you are really putting us at a competitive disadvantage, and we can't have that. Six, acceptance by other party of supplementary obligations which have no connections with the subject of the contract and with the purpose of lessening competition. So, again, you know, this is an instance of persons applying conditions or strings to doing business with the other side, and if those persons do not conform to these strings, then they would choose not to do business with them, and of course that would put them at a competitive disadvantage. And these provisions don't just relate to the case in front of us, but are broad enough to deal with all scenarios that would involve the lessening of competition. So provisions within agreements which are intended to lessen competition are unenforceable. And this is essentially what Lime was arguing, that this takeover of Claro by Digicel is unenforceable. It's an unenforceable agreement. So we continue section paragraph 16. So I'm going back to the case now, and to point out what it is that Lime was really arguing. So they are saying that section 17.1 of the Fair Competition Act states that section 17 applies to agreements which contain provisions that have as their purpose the substantial lessening of competition, or have or are likely to have the effect of substantially lessening competition in the market. And you can see for yourself where Lime was going with this argument. They were basically saying that the takeover of Claro by Digicel was and would substantially lessen competition in the market. And their argument is simple. We now have three telecom providers. When Claro or Digicel take over Claro, we're going to be down to two, notwithstanding that is what we had previously. Section 17.3 indicates that no person shall give effect to any provisions of any agreement which has the purpose or effect referred to in subsection 1, and no such provision are enforceable. And we just spoke about that just now. So what Digicel is, what not Digicel, what Lime is doing here is going through each subsection of the section 17 and making their case that this idea of Digicel acquiring Claro is a bad one, and it breaches section 17.1, section 17.3, and section 17, section 17 subsection 1, section 17 subsection 3, section 17 subsection 4. Of the Fair Competition Act. Section 17 subsection 4 provides that section 17 subsection 3 does not apply to agreements authorized under part 5, or which the Fair Trading Commission is satisfied that they meet the criteria set out in section 17 subsection 4. Right? So these are the arguments that Lime is making in a desperate bid to prevent the takeover of Claro by Digicel. Then they didn't only make the argument that it is a breach of section 17, they went on to say it's a breach of section 19, and we're going to come to section 19, but before we get there, let us look at section 18 of the Act. And section 18 of the Act makes agreements containing exclusionary provisions prohibited, right? So the Fair Competition Act, you can think of it like the Ten Commandments. It is a series of don'ts. Thou shall not. So any of these provisions, if a company or a person does them, they are in breach of the Fair Competition Act. So a provision of an agreement is an exclusionary provision if, one, the agreement is entered into or arrived at between persons of whom any two or more are in competition with each other. So this is talking about collusion now. And I like to use the example of oil producing and exporting countries as anti-competitive practices, right? So they manipulate the price of oil, and they don't need a reason to do so. If they feel that the price of oil should be low, then they come out and they ramp up production and the price of oil is low. And in recent times, they have in fact sustained low oil prices because they are trying to run alternative sources of energy out of the market, such as liquid natural gas and renewable energies, right? So if you are wondering why it is that we have had prevailing low oil prices for a protracted period of time, it's simply because the oil producing and exporting countries have been trying to stave off competition from alternate energy sources, namely liquid natural gas, fracking, and so on. Now, second way that you can say whether a provision is exclusionary or not and in breach of the Section 18 of the Fair Competition Act is if the effect of the provision is to prevent or restrict or limit supply of goods or services from any person or class of person by all or any of the parties to the agreement or by their interconnected companies. So again, although it doesn't say it, implicit in here is the limiting of competition, and that would have a negative effect on the consumer in terms of the price at which they get the produce, the availability of goods and services, and the overall choices that they have. Exclusionary provisions are void and thereby unenforceable. And there's your favorite word again, the word void and unenforceable, right? So void means that it is invalid from the outset, and therefore it will be unenforceable. So here now, we get to the crux of the matter again, which this case here between Cable and Wireless Trading as Line and the Minister responsible for communication, telecommunication and special projects at the time, and the FTC illustrates. And before we get to section 20 and 21, which talks about abuse of dominant position and which this case is about, there's also section 19, because section 19 defines what dominant position is. So section 19 of the Fair Competition Act defines dominant position, and this is the definition of dominant position. For the purposes of this act, an enterprise holds a dominant position in a market if by itself or together with an interconnected company, it occupies such a position of economic strength as will enable it to operate in the market without effective constraints from its competitors or potential consumers. So it is clear what the concern of Lime was, and paragraph 20 makes it even clearer. Lime further submits that Digicel is in a dominant position, and it wasn't really at the time, And it has, in fact, abused its dominant position in times past and continues to do so now because there is, at present, little effective constraints from its competitors. The transaction between Digicel and Claro will increase Digicel's position, and since this transaction is an agreement within Section 17, which we just spoke about, lessening competition, which has not been approved by the FTC, and neither has it met the statutory criteria for approval by the FTC, then it is a legal impediment within the meaning of Section 11, Subsection 1, Paragraph B of the Telecommunication Act. So Lime essentially is attacking this transaction between Claro and Digicel on two fronts. One, it is attacking it under the Telecommunications Act, Section 11, and it is attacking it under Section 17, 19, 20, 21, 35, and I believe 46 of the Fair Competition Act. So we continue to use it as a teaching aid, and here's a response that was made to Lime's assertion at paragraph 20. Paragraph 21, the Solicitor General, who is the government's lawyer, made two responses, both of which the court accepts. The first is factual and the second is legal. The court will deal with the factual response first. In the documents exhibited to the affidavit of Mr. Garth Sinclair, the managing director of Lime, there's a statement attributed to the minister. He made his report to Parliament indicating the things he took into account. In that statement, the minister referred to Section 11 and 17 of the Telecommunications Act, and as I said, that is really not our concern. The minister noted that the transaction raised issues such as the impact on the level of competition within the mobile telecommunication market. The minister referred explicitly to four factors which the transaction raised. First, the impact the transaction would have on the level of competition within the mobile telecommunications market, and in particular, the wide disparity in termination rates among the service providers. And here is an important aspect of this case, because remember, at the time, termination rates were charged when you called from a Lime phone to a Digicel phone, you had to pay a termination rate. When you called from Digicel to Lime, you had to pay a termination rate. Digicel to Claro, Claro to Digicel, Claro to Lime, Lime to Claro, and vice versa. And these things created an unequal pricing mechanism, and it made calls across network more expensive than calls within networks. So second, would Claro have existed within the market? Would Claro have existed within the market whether or not the transaction was approved? Third, service option available 517,000 Claro subscribers. So whilst Claro entry in the market had been relatively short, they had really racked up a number of persons on their network, and they totaled 517,000 subscribers, which is not a small number. And I don't know if many of you or any of you would remember, the iPhone entered the Jamaica market when Claro came to Jamaica. That's when persons were able to get the iPhone, and this was the first generation iPhone, if they got a Claro contract, a 2-year Claro contract. So it really had brought into the marketplace cutting edge, some would say, technology at the time. So fourth, the statutory limitations governing the exercise of the minister's discretion in relation to the application. So, again, this is a side issue for our purposes, because Lime was really making two arguments. One, they were saying that the minister acted ultra vires in approving the merger of Digicel and Claro. And the second thing is they were saying that the FTC, the Fair Trading Commission, wasn't doing its job any at all, and they had not approved this. They had not even investigated this this transaction, let alone approve it. So we are going to hold it there for this afternoon, and when we return tomorrow, 11 to 1, we will pick up from slide 55 and continue to look at the Fair Competition Act and its implications for competition in Jamaica and the regulatory environment. Yes, these slides will be uploaded. Alright, so that's it for this afternoon. I trust you have been following and that you are understanding what we are talking about. If not, make sure you ask questions tomorrow. So, see you tomorrow, 11 to 1.